morning. And if you've already made the wonderful discovery of knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we rejoice in that with you. But if you've not yet come to that place in your life where you can honestly say, I have repented of my sin, and I have asked Jesus Christ to become my Lord and my Savior, I do pray that by the end of this service, you would be able to say that. It's our prayer that you're going to be able to say that. Boy, I tell you, in this world today, people need the Lord. Amen. I'd like you to be finding in your Bibles the last book of the Old Testament. He's an Italian brother of mine by the name of Malachi. No, that's not it. It's Malachi. If you'll be finding Malachi chapter 3 and be finding verse 7, and if you would, please rise as we honor the Lord with the reading of His Word here this morning. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 7. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts, and all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Would you bow with me in prayer? Well, Father, we just ask your blessing upon us this morning that, Lord, that we would hear what you have to say to our heart. Lord, you're not interested in just bringing something into our ears. Lord, you want to bring it to the heart. The heart is what you care about. And a man's heart must be right with you. Lord, we ask today in this service that you would speak to our heart. It's but a simple request. Just touch our hearts, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, Amen. Now, after reading the scriptures, you probably assumed that this is going to be a message on tithing. But I want to share with you this morning that God doesn't want your money. God wants you. God doesn't want what you have. God wants you. Jesus Christ came to this earth to save you. Jesus suffered and bled and died on Calvary's cross to save you. Jesus went to the grave and he rose again to save you. And the Bible says that if you trust Him, He will save you. Do you realize that Jesus loves you? And He longs to save you. He desires that you are in a right relationship with Him. Jesus said in the Gospel of Matthew, the 6th chapter, the 21st verse, He said, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I want you to know this morning that there are three people who are concerned
about you and your money. The first is God. God is concerned with how a man or a woman earns their money, secures their money, saves their money, spends their money, and shares their money. And then the second person who's concerned is Satan. And the reason he's concerned is because he doesn't want you to be blessed. He's hoping that you will be cursed with a curse. And then the third person who's concerned should be you. And you ought to be concerned, because one day you're going to stand before Almighty God and you're going to give an account to God of all that He gave you. Remember what Jesus said, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And so with that thought in mind, allow me to ask this morning, what kind of an account will you give? Now, I want you to imagine with me for just a moment that you've been called out of this world. You are standing before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And before you can even begin to launch into your account, and we have basis for this because we all remember the prodigal son who thought up this wonderful story he was going to tell his daddy when he came home, and before he could even get a word out, his daddy was already doing the talking. So there you are before God. Remember now, God's concern is you. And where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So there you are, and you're standing before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and God asks you, "Will a man rob God?" Well, how are you going to answer that? You see, at that time, it's going to be too late to make any necessary changes. So I think, first of all, this morning, we can thank God that we're still here and still alive. Amen. And we're in the house of the living God. And when we come into the house of God, God desires to change our hearts, because He is concerned not with what we have, but with you, with me. So we can thank God that we're alive. And we can thank God that if there are necessary changes to be made, we have the opportunity to make them, because God is asking us today, God is speaking today, and God is saying, "Will a man rob God?" And the reason He asked the question is to get our attention, to make us think about who and what we really treasure. Do we treasure the gifts God gives more than the giver Himself? Listen, everything we have in life has been given to us by God. We own nothing. And yet we take credit for everything. Did you see that house I built? Did you see that car I bought? Do you see this suit I'm wearing? And we take credit for everything, and without even realizing that we're not taking our next breath without God. We wouldn't have the clothes we wear. We wouldn't have had the food we've eaten. We wouldn't have this church. We would have nothing without God. Everything we have has been given to us by God. And remember, there are three people who know whether or not you are a good financial steward. God knows, Satan knows, and you know. And God, speaking here in Malachi, He just simply tells us, recognize our failure, renew our fellowship and get right with God in our finances. Well, how do we do that? How do we get right with God? Well, friend, we stop hanging on. We just simply let our finances go. Just let go of them if we want God's blessing. Listen, letting go is an act of faith, forsaking all, I trust Him. It's an act of obedience. I want my treasure to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is my all in all. I don't want it in my home down here. I don't want it in anything down here. The Lord can prosper me. It's an act of trust. I trust God to take care of me. And then God has given us a promise. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Do you have faith in that promise? Do you live as if you have faith in that promise? Do you trust God to bring His promise to pass in your life? Now, friends, these are not easy questions. Don't be giving that quick church amen, because there's three people who know. God knows, Satan knows, and you know. There is a definite proportion that we are to bring to God, and that proportion is a tenth of all that God gives us. And Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And I will say, a person can say all they want. They can jump up and down, I don't care. They can say all they want that they're trusting God and they're obeying God and they have faith in God. But I want you to know right now, if you aren't acting in faith, obeying by faith, and trusting God in your finances, you are not right with God. Now we speak about revival, and Lord knows we need revival, but revival will not come into your life until you are willing to get right with God in every area of your life. And it's sad to say, but for many people that starts with their finances. You see, there are many who do not trust God with one dime out of every dollar. And this truthful fact keeps them in financial bondage, which is where Satan wants them. This truthful fact keeps them from getting right with God. They got that I'm a gonna syndrome. You know, I'm a gonna do it, but I just never get it done. And so they never get right with God. They never experience revival in their lives. And God says, Psalm 96:8, give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. Is that how you came to church this morning? Did you give unto the Lord? And remember again, there are three people. God, Satan, and you. Who know if you did what the Bible teaches. There's a second point that comes from our text, and there's a designated place. God's word commands here, and I hope you have your Bibles open, Malachi 3:10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. Now, brothers and sisters, in the Old Testament, they had a temple, and in that temple there was a storehouse. And so they would bring their tithe, and they would put it in the storehouse. And you say, Pastor, well, there's no temple today, but you'd be wrong, because there is a temple today. The Bible teaches and says of the church, ye are the temple of God, 1 Corinthians 3 and 16. In 1 Corinthians chapters 3 and 6, the Bible teaches that the church is the temple of God. And so the Apostle Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 16 and 2, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him. Now, storehouse in the Old Testament is store in the New Testament. And what's he saying? Well, we just bring to the storehouse, to God's temple, on God's day, God's tithe, that God's work can be done God's way. There's a definite proportion. He says, bring ye all the tithe. And he says, bring it to a designated place. You bring it to the storehouse. Listen, your tithe isn't going to be used for other good things. It's not to be used to help relatives, though they may need it. It's not to be used for the work of other Christian organizations. No, your tithe is to be used in God's house. Thank God for those other things. We ought to give to them, but we give over and above our tithe. God's tithe is to be brought to God's house on God's day, that God's work will be done God's way upon the first day of the week. Every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him. Malachi 3 and 10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. Now I pray you have your Bible open. Is that not what the Bible says? Amen? Well, I believe God's word. Do you? Now, friends, not only is there a definite proportion in a designated place, third, there's a determined purpose. I want you to see that. What is the determined purpose? What does God's word say? Malachi 3:10, that there may be meat in mine house. That is, that God's work is going to have all that it will need to get done what God wants done. Now, there's other good projects. But friends, if God's people today in all of God's churches would just do what the Bible says, they would be blessed and the work of God would prosper. We'd be reaching millions around the world with the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what the Bible commands the church to be about. We're in the soul business. We need to see people saved. I want you to understand something this morning. Hell is real. And if a soul doesn't get saved, they're going to spend an eternity in hell. And you and I can't be in every place. But we can give. And we can be about our master's business, not our own business. It breaks my heart to share this. And I was shocked when I read it. But there's a statistic out there that says if all the church members in the average church were on welfare and they all tithe, the income of the average church would more than double. That makes me sad. And I'm going to tell you why it makes me sad. Because number one, God's people are not being blessed. And number two, there's not the wherewithal to reach souls for the kingdom. Now, you can rob God in your tithe, but you can also rob God with your offerings. Listen, when you tithe, you haven't finished. The fact is, when you tithe, you really are just paying the tithe. You're just returning the tithe. The tithe belongs to who? God. He says the first tenth is holy unto me. Now, all through this text, God is saying to us, recognize your failure so you are not cursed with a curse. Renew your fellowship with God by getting right with God in your finances. Just release them and let them go. What is faith? Forsaking all, I trust Him. If you've got any other kind of faith than that, it's not the right kind of faith. Forsaking all means my hands are off of it. I'm not hanging on to anything. Forsaking all, I trust Him. If I'm going to take another breath, God will supply it. If I'm going to eat another meal, God will provide it. I just trust Him. And I want to encourage you to trust God. And if you will trust and obey, and we all know that song, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then God promises to restore your fruitfulness. You see, God says we're to bring all of the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. Now watch this. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. And God is simply saying to us here that if we will do what He says, look at the rest of the verse. If I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. You see, God is promising us a threefold blessing. Now, is there anybody here who doesn't want a blessing? The Word of God says God's going to do this, and I believe the Word of God. What about you? Do you believe the Word of God? Boy, I'll tell you something. When you begin to talk about people's money, do you know people get tight? Woo! I mean, you ought to see the look on some of your faces this morning. I ain't sure I like this. Friend, God knows. Satan knows, you know. One day you're going to give an account. You see, this is kind of where the rubber meets the road, isn't it? Man, we can shout all day, oh, how I love Jesus. We can claim how much we trust in Jesus. We can shout hallelujah, amen. But boy, when it gets down to that old wallet, boy, look out. Let me ask you a question. If you can't trust God with one dime out of every dollar, how can you say you trust God going to take you home to heaven? I think going home to heaven is going to be a lot harder work. If God has the power to get you home to heaven, don't you think God has the power to help you operate on 90 cents out of every dollar? If He ain't got that kind of power, He ain't no kind of God. Is God a liar? God says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse first, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. And God says right here, if you'll do this first, he will renew your faith. And then he gives us a challenge. And he says, prove me now. He gives us a permission as well. When he says, prove me now. Do you realize that this is the only place in the Bible where God's people are allowed to put the Lord their God to the test? Now, we've all heard you don't test God. Amen? You all heard that. There's one place in all of God's Word where he says, prove me. In other words, test me in this. You know, many people come to me and they say, you know, I'm just not growing in my Christian faith. I wonder why I'm not growing. I wonder why I don't have more faith. Why? Why is it that when I pray, the heavens are like brass? Why is it that I don't understand the Bible? Well, I often will ask this question, are you right with God in your finances? Friend, if you can't trust God with your finances, how is God going to trust you with true spiritual riches? God says right here, I will open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. He says, prove me, and I will renew your faith, and your faith will begin to grow. Now, I want to give you a personal testimony. As a young man, I had a grandfather. He would call me every Sunday night and say, did you tithe? And I tried to give him an excuse. It's not what I asked you. He said, did you tithe? Today, I'm thanking God for my grandfather, Daddy Hap, because he held me accountable. And what he did was God used him to strengthen my faith and Michelle's faith down through the years, because we can tell you story upon story about God's faithfulness to us in the matter of our finances. And we've tithed and we will continue to tithe by God's amazing and wonderful grace. And God has blessed us and we're able to go beyond the tithe and we're able to give simply because something I share all of the time, because we've proved it. But my God shall supply all my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You see, I just simply believe what the Bible says. We trust what God says. And God has given us permission to put him to the test. And I can stand here today and tell you our God is a holy, righteous God who is faithful to his children. We do not deserve what we have been given. But by God's amazing grace, he has blessed us much. Simply because of a grandfather who would not take an excuse from a grandson. And I had some good ones. I said, but Daddy Hap, you know, I got laid off this week. It's not what I asked you. I asked you, did you tithe? Did you give out of what you were received? But Daddy Hap, you just don't understand. We got this and she wants that. That's not what I asked you. I asked you, did you tithe? He said, grandson, one day, you're going to give an account to God. What kind of story do you want to tell? Oh, the impact of that. This went on for a couple months, every Sunday night. Finally, I figured, you know, I'm kind of thick-headed. Finally, it dawned on me, I better quit coming up with excuses and just shout, "Yes, I did." End of my testimony. Now, God says here, He not only rebuke your, renew your faith, He'll also rebuke your foes. Look at me at verse 11 there. "And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts." And so we know we're talking about farmers. And maybe you're not a farmer, but you know you still got foes because you got those dental bills, you got those hospital bills, you got those drug bills, you got those doctor bills, you got those car repairs. You probably, like me, at some point in your life, you've lost your job. We've lived through recessions. We've lived through a pandemic. Some people get depression. I mean, we got foes. Amen. But note what God says. He says, "I'm coming to your side. I will rebuke you these things that have been devouring your income." You see, people say, "I can't afford to tithe." And I'll tell you, friend, you can't afford not to tithe, because you're going to do far more on 9/10 of your income with God as your partner than you're going to do on all of it going it alone. God will renew your faith. God says, "Prove me, test me." And God will rebuke your foes, and then God will restore your fruitfulness. Look at verse 12. "And neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts, and all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land." God says, "I'm going to make you fruitful." Listen to the promises of God. "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine." Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. Proverbs 11, 24 and 25. "There is that scattereth and yet increases, and there is that withholdeth more than his meat, but it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered him also himself." And then that great promise that he gives us in Luke 6 and 38. And he says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." Now God is simply letting us know that we hold the key, each one of us, in our own hand. And I pray, and I've been praying, I pray you're getting this down in your heart and your mind, because God wants you. You say, "Well, why does God want me?" God not only wants you to go home to heaven, because hell's such an awful place that He died for you, but God loves you so much that God wants to bless you. Let that sink in. The Christian life is about blessing. And God wants to bless you. Oh, He longs to bless you. He wants to open the windows of heaven upon you. And each one of us must ask. We got to look into our own heart. We've got to ask some tough questions. "Lord, have I failed you?" And then we got to recognize it. We got to repent of it. We got to have our fellowship with God restored. Remember what Jesus said? For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You see, sometimes it's not sin that closes the ears of God. Sometimes it's us, because we're not doing what God has asked us to do. We're not obeying. We're not being faithful. We're not exhibiting faith. We're not acting in faith. We're not obeying. We're not trusting. And just as God cannot bless sin, God cannot bless that attitude in our heart. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so God says, return unto me, and I will return unto you. Just release it and let it go. Now God asked, will a man rob God? Why? To get us to consider our ways. Ask yourself this question: are you cursed with a curse? Does it always seem like you never have enough? Are you robbing God? God knows if you are. And listen, God does not want you to be cursed with a curse. He doesn't want Green Valley to be cursed with a curse. God wants to open up the windows of heaven upon you and upon His church. That's what the Bible says. Well, I believe God. Do you? You see, right now, as we come to this moment of invitation, as we come to this time, God is, He already knows. Everything is open and naked to the one with whom we have to do. And this is your opportunity to respond in faith as we come and as we sing. Some people say, why an invitation? An invitation is given because God has spoken to you and God wants you to respond to the message. And when you respond, then God can pour out His blessing. So as we stand and sing here in just a moment, what has God said to you this morning? What changes need to be made? You might be here this morning and you're not yet saved. Wouldn't it be wonderful if God spoke and called you to salvation? Oh, hallelujah. But you might be a Christian. And maybe this is the first time you've ever heard that God not only loves you, but He wants you so He can bless you. Maybe you need to come and repent. Perhaps God's calling you to join this church. But this is a holy moment. Do not leave here this morning without getting right with God so that you can be blessed. Would you bow your heads with me in prayer? Father, we thank You for Your Word and the challenge of the Word to us this morning. And Lord, how wonderful to hear that You want us. You not only want to save us, You not only demonstrated Your love for us in the cross of Jesus Christ, but Lord, You desire to save us that You might bless us. And Your Word says we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. They're ours to claim if we will respond in faith, forsaking all, I trust Him. Lord, I pray as we stand to sing here in just a moment that Your people would respond with that kind of faith. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Brother Marty, would you lead us?